His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What a powerful name it is. I've been thinking of the old hymn, "How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you he has said, for refuge to Jesus have fled." What a mighty God we serve. What an awesome Savior. These folks, for those of you who are visiting with us that just had the newborn baby, we get a little emotional here because we see some of the most awesome things. Teslas, both of them heroin addicts, both of them coming to Grace Gospel Fellowship from prison, both of them coming to know Christ and one another, both of them marrying here, and now this is their second child, and they live together over in the village on Moreland Street, and both of them working for Grace Centers of Hope have jobs here. How great is our God? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life can only mean one thing: you're not going to perish. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. In the religious world, not many hold to this truth, that God in and through Jesus Christ gives his people eternal life. That he gives them eternal life, and that they will never perish, and that no man is able to pluck them out of this double-fisted Christ and God. I thought it most interesting. I've been ministering for 50-plus years, and I never saw that God has us in his hands and Christ has us in his hands. How are you going to break the bondage there? How are you going to break the bond that's there? No man is able. We call this, or all my life, having been raised in the Baptist church for the most part, we call this assurance, blessed assurance. We even proclaim, say, once saved, always saved. That's what we preach and teach, and that's what the Bible teaches. That if God saves you, he saves you forever. My hardest job is getting the saved man to believe he is saved and the religious man to know he's not saved. This is true because the saved man has spiritual life. I always tell people who come to me and say, "Pastor, I'm not sure whether I'm saved or not." And I always go, "You can't doubt what you don't have." The very fact that you are judging yourself to not be good enough to make it, to hold out, is evidence that you have spiritual life. You see, most of the time the saved person gets his head stuck in his belly button. And because he doesn't sit under the message of grace, let me tell you, it's important that all saved people sit under the message of God's free and sovereign grace. Because if you don't, you're soon going to be doubting. When you look away from Christ alone, and you look to your works, your baptism, your being a Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or whatever, and start to look to your works, you're trying to work your way to heaven, it isn't going to be long until you say, "In my flesh dwells no good thing." You're going to be able to, start to doubt that you are a Christian, because you get away from this grace thing. See, you are not a Christian because of something you did. The only people that have blessed assurance are people who have been saved by grace. And you only get blessed assurance by knowing that salvation is of the Lord and not of yourself from first to last. That He's the Alpha in your salvation. That He saved you. It was not your will. You don't have a free will. It is not your works. It is not your baptism. It was God who came to you when you would not come to Him. And He saved you. And we have been justified freely by His amazing grace. That's why our hands go up here at Grace Gospel Fellowship. We know it. We know it's true. Thank God He didn't give us what we deserve. The religious person, the person who believes in salvation by works, has their head stuck in their belly button too. Only they're liars and hypocrites. They don't acknowledge what's in there. They acknowledge what's on the outside. They claim themselves to be clean as a hound's tooth. You know, they are Methodist, Catholic, Baptist. They've been that for hundreds of years now. They've been baptized by Reverend so-and-so. They have their baptism certificate. They give to the poor. Don't go to church much, but you know, I'm basically a good person. Bill Davis, who died and was such a blessing to us and came to know Christ on his deathbed, used to say to me out on the golf course, he gave thousands of dollars here, and his son, of course, is one of our major donors, Danny Davis. But Bill used to say to me out on the golf course almost every Thursday during the summer, I'm a good person, aren't I, Pastor? And I would say to him, Bill, you are a wretched, no good for nothing sinner. And unless you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will surely perish. And he would laugh and hit the ball. Seemed like he hit it a little further after I said that. Anyway, come to find out, his housekeeper had been witnessing to him for 20-some years. And she came up to Beaumont Hospital and led him to Christ. And he died 30 days later. I want to say to you who are here, and there are many of you here today, you're no good. I don't know what you're counting on, but it shouldn't be your life and works. That's not going to make it. And if you are counting on that, you are a liar. What's going on in your mind and your nature? Because you are a depraved, wretched sinner. That's what the Bible says about you and I. So, there is no assurance outside of this fact and this truth that salvation is of the Lord. I hope you know that, and I hope that there is a tickle that goes down from your, all down your backbone when I say that. You go, every praise belongs to my God. He's the one that sought me. He's the one that caught me. He's the one that found me when I was wandering. He's sovereign. Some people don't like that. And by the way, you'll notice that in the 10th chapter of the book of John, those Pharisees, they were out to get the Lord Jesus. In fact, the last verse, after the verses that Joe read, it says, immediately they picked up stones to stone him. They were going to kill him because of the truth of grace. Some here this morning might say, Pastor, the text you've chosen might be better suited for a Wednesday night crowd. You know, I've heard people say that to me for 55 years. You know, Pastor, I think that was for a more mature Christian group of people. You know, our Lord never hesitated to preach the deeper doctrines of the gospel to the most miscellaneous assembly. We have prostitutes here this morning. We have crack addicts here today. We have heroin addicts here. We have people who are addicted to pornography here today. Oh, I got a big fishing hole here today. And then some of you, more than likely at first, unless God does something in your heart, you're going to get very angry at me today. Because I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. Jesus pointed his finger to these Pharisees and he said to them, You believe not because you're of your father, the devil. That's pretty strong. That wasn't a Wednesday night crowd that was gathered around him. That was the religious bunch that gave their tithe and made their brag about their works and their life. And he was in his home area. They became very proud of him. After all, he was healing the sick and giving sight to the blind. And so they gathered around him. And then he began to preach election. Oh, election will make people mad. What makes many mad makes me so glad that God chose me, a rattlesnake, a little alley rat, a sinner. And yet God chose me. I will never get over the wonder of the truth of election. Some of you are going, yeah, you think you're better. Well, that's what the Pharisees thought, but that's not what people who believe the election that's taught in the Scripture believe at all. We are in wonder that God chose us. Can I get a witness here today? We wonder that God chose us. That God saves the Sarepta woman and left many Israelite widows to die in their sins. The Jews couldn't get over that. There were many lepers in Israel, but God went to Naaman. He was the only one. And he wasn't of the Jewish race. Let me tell you, if in your heart you look at a black, white, Chinese, or anyone else person and go, No. God would pass them right on by. What you need to see is this, that God, in sovereign, free, amazing grace, chose a people and He converts them to Himself in His power, in the power of the Spirit, regenerates them, comes to where they are in their lostness and quickens them and gives them life. And by the way, when I was reading the text, I started on Monday reading from John 10. And every time I got to this, my sheep, my sheep. You know, the notion that certain truths are not fit to be preached to a general assembly, that they ought to be kept to special gatherings of saints, is a horrific wrong. The doctrine of election ought to be preached on Sunday morning to those that believe it and to those who do not. The doctrine that gives God all the glory, that says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Say, well, Pastor, I can't do that. The deacon board would relieve me of my duties. And besides, that sounds like Calvinism. I don't care what it sounds like. It's the truth of the Word of God. My sheep. My sheep that were given to me by the Father before the foundation of the world. Jesus in John 17 said, I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and You gave them to me to redeem on the tree of the cross. You believe not because you're not of My sheep. I wonder if there's someone sitting here today and your thoughts are going like this. Oh, I want to be one of His sheep. You know, you can find out if you are today. I mean, you can find out right now. Let me tell you what to do. You want to find out whether you were chosen before the foundation of the world? Get up right now. Come right up here and say like this to me. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He's my Savior and Redeemer, that He died in my room instead, and I'm trusting Him alone. And I will say, bless God. You are one of the elect of God. You know, they came to Christ. And by the way, say, probably some of you are going like, he didn't really mean that, did he? I really meant it. I would love to see my sermon interrupted by you coming forward. It really wouldn't interrupt me at all if you just came forward and confessed Jesus Christ right here, right now. I do know this. The Spirit of God's in this place this morning. I do know that. You know, these Pharisees, the most religious of that day, came to Christ and they said, "Tell us if you be the Christ." You know, sometimes people pretend they really don't hear what I'm saying. I know they do by their silly, silly questions. The Lord had already healed a blind man. He had already made a man walk who had been paralyzed for over 30-some years. And they saw the miracles that He did, but they didn't like Him claiming to be God in human flesh. And my point is simply this. Sometimes a man is deficient, not as to the gospel. There's no one who's attended this church for any length of time who mentally has not heard me preach the gospel, because it's ever service. So I know you've heard it, and you know about this Christ who came into the world to save sinners. You're knowledgeable that Jesus died on the tree of the cross. But what you are deficient in is your desperate need of the blood of Jesus Christ to pay your sin debt. Your desperate need of coming to Christ. That's what you're deficient. Some of you are sitting back there something like this. Yeah. Same old message, same old story. But somebody here, God is sending me to tell you Christ came into the world to save the chief of sinners, even you. There's some of you here today that are hearing good news for the first time. I mean, you are really hearing good news, because you know your deep and terrible need. Some of you don't think you need a doctor. That's because you don't know how sick you are. But you are sick, sick, sick. You are dead in sins and trespasses. You need a power outside of yourself to quicken you, to give you life, to come to where you are. And I know preachers say this all the time. I gave my heart to Jesus. He doesn't want your stinking heart. He's not asking for your depraved heart. Some of us need to correct our theology a bit here. He will give you a new heart and a new start and a new life. My sheep. I think that's interesting. I studied sheep yesterday. I went online. You know, sheep are pretty stupid. You know, you can take a dog and drop him off 10 miles from home. He'll beat you home. A sheep will get out of the pen and cannot find his way back. I wonder why Jesus picked sheep. Not my dogs, not lions, not ravening wolves. Not all men are sheep. Some men who might be called sheep are not Christ's sheep. I mean, there are most of you here, I would say, you'd say something like this. You know, basically, I've been to church most of my life. You know, I'm a Catholic. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Baptist. And you haven't been to church in 10 years. The only reason you're here is because somehow you got hooked up with an addict who invited you over. All men don't belong to this flock when He says, "My sheep." He claims this: all whom He chose of old, those given to Him of the Father in John 17, those who have been bought with His blood, John 10, those who have been redeemed from among men, Ephesians 2, He claims them as His own sheep. And He calls them My sheep. Somebody said, this was years ago, said to me, "Are you saying that I am just a sheep?" I said, yes, but if you're His sheep, think about who He is. You are His sheep. He's the sole owner. He's their shepherd. He's their keeper. He's their guardian. He's their proprietor. He's their possessor. He's to them the Lamb of God that takes away their sins. He is their redemption. He's their propitiation. He's their justification. They say, what a beautiful name it is. He's wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. He's everything to them. That's how you can know He's your shepherd. Because He's everything to you. They're His sheep. They're dependent. They're timid. They're trembling. They're obedient. They're teachable. They're made sheep by the Spirit of God. They're not doggish worldlings. They're not swinish worldlings. They're not wolfish in nature. I guarantee you this. If you know you've been saved by grace, you're going to be gracious to other people. If it's the mercy of, if God's been merciful to you, you'll be merciful to other people because you're one of His sheep. Gracious and merciful. You're going to want to see other people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How awesome it is to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Want for anything. Because I'm complete in Christ. I'm accepted in the blood. Here's what Jesus said about His sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I'm struggling just a little bit because I'm very knowledgeable right now that the devil doesn't want this message preached. I wonder who you are. Somebody I know. Because what God has been doing all week with me is sending you a message. Do you have ears to hear? Is there somebody in here who is truthfully, really hearing? You think I read your mail? You think I know what's going on in your life? There's something astir on the inside of you. And I would say to those of you who are converted, I think I, on a few occasions, I've had this happen. I've heard Him with my body. It was as if every pore was an ear for my Lord's sweet voice. And I said, as the old songwriter said, I can hear my Savior calling. You know, while we were singing, it was like every pore in my body heard the voice of the great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there today someone here who's earmarked? You didn't know it? Maybe when you came in? But today you are hearing the voice of the great shepherd through my voice. It is true that if my poor voice is the only voice you hear, you will leave here none the better. But if in the providence of God through my voice, you hear the voice of God calling you to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to see a miracle today. Calling. How pathetic are our churches today? Going through the routine of religion. And people get up every Sunday and say, I've got to go. I've got to go over there again. I've got to go over there again. We don't do that, I don't think, here. There may be a few. But I think for the most part, when people get up here on Sunday, they go, I was glad when they said, let us go up to the house of God. Because we're going to see God do something. This is a happy place. They hear my voice, these sheep that are mine. They hear my voice. I know them. Oh, my goodness. He knows you inside and out. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Sometimes we don't know Him, but He knows us. He knows His sheep. Well, the fact is, it's not just He knows about His sheep. He's in love with His sheep. He loves, He foreknew, for whom He did foreknow, forelove, before you were formed in your mother's belly, He had already chose you. Before He ever created the world, He loved you. Before you were born, He wrote your name in the book. While you were out using heroin, your name was in the book. Oh, preacher, don't tell people that. They'll live like hell. They live like hell anyway. The only thing that's going to save people and deliver people, you know, I thought about this week. All my life, I was pretty well taught that the assurance of salvation came through not having a phys ed class because you had to wear shorts. I surely was saved. And all these other kids were going to hell. I didn't play cards. I didn't play pool. There were so many things I didn't do. And I thought, I'm meeting the rules. I didn't even go roller skating because you might hold hands with a girl. Or, you know, something might happen. It looked too much like dancing. I'd never been to a dance. Some of you go, Pastor, sometimes it seems like you want to dance. You're just kind of happy up there. Why don't you turn loose? Because I have no clue. I have no rhythm. I don't know how to dance. But you know, it wasn't too long in my early childhood that I began to know there was something bad wrong with me. And I didn't have blessed assurance. Because I knew sin went deeper than simply not dancing or playing cards. Sin, my nature was sinful. So He knows us. He foreknew us before we were formed in the belly. He chose us from the foundation of the world. But I thought about this. He knows your secret sighs and your mournings. And I'm talking to you, the children of God. You're in here today. And this past week, you've had a tough week. You've just had a tough week, and there's been some sad things happening in your life. Do you know Jesus knows that? He knows all about that. In fact, the Bible says He's touched with the feelings of your infirmities. There's not a tear, little child of God, that ever runs down your cheek except Jesus knows. There's not a failure in your life except Jesus knows. And He's made provisions through His blood. He hears your private prayers. He knows your praises in the silence of your heart. Some of you go like this, you know, I just can't lift up my hands in church. But your heart is jumping up and down. You ever seen the swan out on the lake? If you could go underneath, that's the way I am many times. I thought about shouting, "Praise God!" right in the middle of our song service today. But I knew that would shake some of you up. And He knows your praises. He knows how you look to His atoning blood. Some of you in here right now are going, "It's the blood. I know it's the blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood. There's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Some of you in here are going, "That's true. That's true. Preach it, Pastor. Say it louder. Say it clearer. Lift Him up." You're saying, Jesus knows that. He sees you praising Him. He knows you delight in Him. "My sheep," He said, "I know them." What a sad case it is over in the Gospels when that crowd gathers before the Lord and they say, "Didn't we cast out devils in your name? We did many wonderful works in your name. We went through the one-year program over at Grace Centers of Hope in your name." And He says, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." Here's your only hope, my friend. It's in Jesus Christ. You must come to know Him. You know your name's written in the palms of His hands. Isn't that something? And here's what he says. They follow me. Somebody wrote me this week and said, do you really think anybody is following the Lord? And I wrote back, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. You know how you follow and I follow? Like this. And most of the time when you get over here, all the time when you get over here, the Lord goes more toward the center. And you get here, but you don't stay here too long. You begin to doubting or looking to your works, or somebody says something to you about how salvation is a decision you make for God. The devil voted against you. God voted for you. And you're the big factor in salvation. I'll tell you, that's just not true. When the vote was taken, you were not a registered voter. God voted for us. So that makes it a sure thing on our part. But we follow like this. When we get over here, we don't like it over there, really. And then the preacher preaches on power in the blood, and we sit there in the house of God and go, I'm not going to do that ever again. Lord, forgive me for what I did this week. Lord, help me to be more holy, more like you. Help me to be a witness. They follow me. You see, his sheep are not only earmarked, they're footmarked. Their ear and their feet. They hear. And because of what they hear, they want to follow. Sanctification is not something you do by some preacher beating the hell out of you. Sanctification is you're in love with this man. Wilt thou go with this man? Wherever he goes, I will go. Wherever he lives, I will live. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. That's how sanctification is. It's not by works or legalistic preaching. They openly vow him as their shepherd. He's their leader. So, sanctification is not your claim to assurance. I'm almost through. And I give unto them eternal life. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give unto them that hear my voice and follow me. I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life. You know, there's a whole lot of folks. Just wait till you get as old as I am. You will begin to see. There's a whole lot of folks over there. On the celestial shore. They're waiting for the trump of God to sound. The spirits of just men made perfect. Somebody asked me this week, well, what do they know over there? Do they see all my mess ups? And blah? I don't know what. They know this. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And they're listening for the blast of a trumpet. And Jesus will return, and we which remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and forever be with the Lord. I give unto them eternal life, eternal security in Him. Think about this. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I know. I know most of you in here. I know your past. What a mess. I know my past. What a mess. But you've come to know Christ. You have eternal life. Say, but Pastor, how could I? Because He gave it to you. And because He said so. And because He's guarding you. Because He paid your debt. Because He satisfied justice. Because on the third day He got up out of the grave. And so, just as He got up, you, if you pass away, will get up. I think I would just soon be around for the trumpet. I would like to see, you know, all that happen. Amen. But it's a reality to me. No. Some of you are in here like this. Pastor, you've never used drugs. You don't know the power of drugs. I know the power of Satan. But I know one who crushed his head. He's just got a wiggle now. My grandfather and I years ago was walking out. I was walking out just a little boy with him to milk old Betsy down at the barn. And as we walked along that path to the barn, a big snake, I mean it was 6 feet long, came out in front. And I saw it and started backing up. My grandfather reached down and went like this. Boom! He grabbed that snake by the tail and popped that snake's head right off. He laid that snake back down and he said, "Come on, Kenna boy, that snake's not going to hurt you. It has no head." Oh, I'm getting happy right now. The snake has no head. All it has is a wiggle. No, I know you think you're not going, but you're going because of the power and the blood of the great shepherd, the captain of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a contradiction it is for a person to say, "He gave me eternal life, and now I'm lost." I said to myself, that doesn't make any sense. He gave me eternal life. I say, you have eternal life, and now you're lost. How do you have eternal life and then not have it? If Jesus gives you eternal life, and He said He does, then you have it. Eternal life. But you know power. You know the power, Pastor. You know how many times I've relapsed. Do you know how many times I've relapsed? No, you don't, because I don't tell you. And I relapse on different things than maybe you do. But there's nobody in here who's not a relapser. We're the church of the relapsers. But greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand, nor my hand. Think about that. He's got you. He's got you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And aren't you singing Blessed Assurance? You see, when I was growing up, I was taught in church. And I know God has done the things He's done with me to unteach me what I was taught. Sanctification was all of these things you don't do. And I was so fearful because I knew the truth about myself. You know the truth about you. There's another side. There is a secret life that goes on inside of each Christian here every single day. You don't want people to know what you've already thought while I've been preaching? You don't want folks to know that secret side. But in everybody here, there's a secret side. Why are you looking at me that way? You know that's true. There's a secret side. But Jesus got you. Because one day you'll lay down that old flesh that's corruptible. One day you'll lay it down. And one day the trump of God will sound and you're going to get a new body. And you're going to live in a place where there's no sin. And there's no more tears, no more heartache, no more separation, no more letting one another down, no more division. What a great message we have. My sheep, where are you? Somebody in here today has heard the shepherd's voice. I know it's true. Maybe it's one of you tough guys way in the back. Maybe you just came into Grace Centers of Hope. Maybe you're visiting with us today. Maybe you're from Kentucky. And God brought you all the way up here and didn't let Larry Holman wreck the bus. God protected you all the way up here to get you in this service for you to hear His voice. What a wonderful God He is. Oh, what a wonderful God He is. And maybe God is saying and said this morning to the Holy Spirit, "Fetch him out of Lodibar, the dead dog that he is. Go fetch him, Holy Spirit." I know the Spirit of God is here. Oh, He's a wonderful retriever. He'll sniff you out. By the way, you have such a smell because of your depravity. It's not hard for him to sniff you out. He can find you readily, but he comes where you are. I've seen some of you this morning trying to act like you're not shedding a tear. But you haven't fooled me. I think something is happening on the inside of you. Maybe it's a sorrow for your sins. I don't know what it is.